Our fourth in this series of connecting through the Word, connecting through Scripture. It's the eighth in the series of connecting to God. We've had connecting through prayer, four parts, and connecting through the Word now. This will be the fourth part. The peace that comes through Scripture, and that should be Psalm 85, not Psalm 8. Verses 8 through 13. And once again, John 1 through 5 should not be there. I rush through these things and I don't type over what I should type over. But see, it's there on the second page, so let's look. What does the psalmist say to us in verses 8 of Psalm 85? And through verse 13, through the end of the psalm. I will listen to what God, the Lord, will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints. But let them not return to folly. Surely his salvation is nearer to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. All right. So as we look at this, seeing the peace that comes through Scripture, I want us to fixate ourselves right now on verse 8. Verse 8, I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints. But let them not return to folly. There's so much that we go through life with. So many things that are vying for our time. We wake up in the morning with the idea that we have so much to do and so little time to do it. If I'm the only one that has that first thought go through my mind, let me know. How many of you wake up with that thought, I have so much to do today and so little time to do it? Well, maybe not some of you who are retired, but even those of you who are retired have that thought going through your mind. I have so much I want to do today, so much I want to accomplish, and so little time to do it. Let me remind you, who made the day? God. Who made the number of hours that are in our day? God. If you have a problem with the number of hours you have in your day, talk to him. What that tells me is we're trying to cram too much time into our 24-hour day. We're trying to cram too much stuff into our 24-hour day that God said 24 hours ought to be more than enough time for you to do everything that I've told you you need to do. Now listen to what I just said. 24 hours ought to be more than enough time to do everything that I've told you you need to do. Who are we getting our direction from daily? Listen to what this says. The psalmist is so enlightened into what God wants for us. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace, shalom, to his people, his saints. But let them not return to folly, running around chasing our tails. Running around trying to just jam everything that we think we need to do in a day. Because then we will never have peace in our day. Notice what he says after this. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. What does that mean? Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. Surely his salvation, pretty clear, is near to those who fear him, near to those who respect him, who actually see him for the God of all creation, the God who deserves our respect, the God who deserves our all, our just total amazement, the one and only God of all creation, the one who we should be looking to for everything. Not fear as, boy, I just messed up. Fear as in respect. Just as much as we should be respecting our parents, our father, as in a heavenly father. See, now I grew up in a home that was an abusive home. So my sort of fear was a different fear. That was a, if I mess up, I'm going to get lambasted. I'm not going to get disciplined. I'm going to get beat. God disciplines those who he loves. That's scriptural. And if he did not, then he would not be a loving father. Discipline, I've said this before. You've heard it from me before. If you've been listening, discipline cannot be separated from love. Love without discipline is neglect. Discipline without love is abuse. Do you hear that? Discipline without love is abuse. Love without discipline is neglect. God is neither a neglectful nor an abusive parent. God does not discipline without love. God does not love without discipline. Therefore, his fear is a different fear. It's a respect. I see you, Father. I respect you. I want to do everything that you want me to do and more. I want to gain not only your respect for me, but I want to gain your praise and admiration. I want to run the race and I want to win. I want to be able to go to the Drake relays and win. Right, Luke? Luke's back from college, and I love to see him. It's good to see him back. And Luke has been such an inspiration for me in that I've been able to see what Paul talks about in a runner, personalized, and in Luke's life. Starting to see it even in some others that are coming up. One ninth grader who is just breaking all kinds of strides and records, who I will not mention by name, Lydia. But Paul's talking about, I was never a runner. I was a football player and a lacrosse player. Sure, I had to run, but I got to stop. Okay, they're going to hit me. All right, fine. All right, let's stop this ball from getting in the... All right, okay. Now, I didn't have to run constantly. I had to do sprints for practice. I had to do maybe a couple miles for practice. But that was it. I didn't constantly have to get up and say, I'm going to run, 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 run. God, I would run and I would grow weary. I would faint. Thank you for those wings of eagles. And that's why I latched on to Isaiah's verse about even the youth. Well, I'm not a youth anymore. Even old men grow weary and need those wings. But surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, respect him, that his glory may dwell in our land. It's not because they want anything special for them. Sure, it's great to get praise from your Father, but it's for a greater purpose. I want to point others to you, Father. I want to be a lighthouse, a beacon of your love, of your salvation, of your grace to others, so that they may be drawn to me, but I may say, hey, it's not me, it's him. What's shining through me doesn't come from me. It can't, because I am just a creation. He is the creator. So, moving on. Love and faithfulness meet together. This is such a beautiful picture. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. They embrace one another. If If you want love and faithfulness in your life, they have to coincide. Faithfulness and love. You can't have love without faithfulness. Because if you love someone, you want to be faithful to them. You desire to be faithful to them. And they meet together. They can't go without being together. Otherwise, they become lust and occasionalness. Right? That's the picture I see. Because love and faithfulness come together. Lust and occasionalness are here. Occasionally they meet. But love and faithfulness have to be together forever. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Now that's even a more vibrant picture. An embrace. This is the only one. Oh. Got to remember, these aren't nailed down. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. There's an embrace, a closeness that can't separate very easily. Otherwise, there's a terrible, terrible pain that comes. Righteousness brings peace. And without that righteousness, there cannot be peace. God desires peace for his people. Peace in a personal sense. Peace in a literal sense for his nation. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. It's a meeting together of two things that are spiritual and natural. Creative and creation, or creator. Creation and creator coming together. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth. Faithfulness is what the creation does. Righteousness from the creator coming down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. What kind of harvest? Not the grain we look at around us and see going into the grain bins behind the wagon, behind the tractors, into the combines. Not that kind of grain, not that kind of harvest, but a harvest of peace, a harvest of salvation, a harvest of God's goodness into the land. The peace that passes all understanding. I don't know how it could come any other way. It's not going to be shown in no wars in the world very quickly, if at all. Because from what I read in my Bible, there will be wars and rumors of wars, wars and rumors of wars until the end, until Christ comes again. It'll be a peace in the heart of the individual, in the heart of the body of believers. That we are doing what God has called us to do, what Christ has commissioned us to do. And we're doing all we can. We're following forth. We're going forth with everything we have. We're pressing on. And reading our Bible, the peace that comes through Scripture, going back to verse 1, I will listen to what God the Lord will say. That's the only way we can hear him right now in real clear ways is to read his word. Sure, we may hear him through speaking to our hearts, through the Holy Spirit, but more times than not, that comes as we read his word. As we are compelled to pray as we read his word and listen for what the Holy Spirit may prompt us. As we gain direction in our life by reading his word. That's why I put this into the peace that comes through Scripture. And then verse 13, righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Everything that God calls us to do is righteous. It goes out before him and he calls us behind him. He doesn't call us to do anything that we're not going to be able to do. Sure, you may say that I'm not gifted in that way. Well, you know what? If God's calling you to do it, He's going to give you the power and the ability to do it. I don't care what your spiritual gift survey says. If God says, get up and go and do this, He's saying, I'm going to give you the ability to do it. Forget that little piece of paper that you did, that thing that man made. Because that's not a full assessment of what I can do in your life. Sure, they may be a little bit of a gauge or a guide to what you can do in serving the church, but that's not the full gauge of what I can do in your life. If you believe that piece of paper over me, then you're trusting in the wrong God. You're trusting in the God of man. So many people I've talked to, as I've been a pastor, as I've led youth as a lay person, and been on church boards, church, whatever you want to call it, and said, well, I can't be a Sunday school teacher because I don't have that giftedness. What do you mean? Is God calling you to do it? Yeah, I feel led to do it, but it's not my spiritual gift. So what? You feel led to do it. You want to be with kids. You want to learn and teach kids. And God's calling you to do it. Then get up off your butt and do it. Stop telling God no. If you keep telling God no, then things aren't going to work out in your life the way that God wants them to, because you keep on putting a wall between you and His will for you. I don't mean to offend anybody by saying but. But I say it a lot. Maybe not in that context, but you know what I mean. So, peace that comes through Scripture is that shalom. Not a peace between man and man. It's that shalom, that peace that passes all understanding. That peace I give unto you that God talks about. That perfect peace that can only come from God. And as we read His Word, we will be brought peace in certain areas of our life. If we are struggling in one area, as we read His Word and are directed into certain paths of Scripture, then that peace will come in those paths. As we seek Him, He is faithful. And He will come to us and bring us that peace.